Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills. By the time this program airs, we'll know more about Syria than we probably care to know. Right now, that country dominates our thoughts. It also weighs heavily on the mind of our guest, Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, what are your thoughts right now concerning Syria?
Well, my thoughts are like most people. We've become patently aware that the civil war in Syria is threatening the stability and peace of mind of the whole world. Mm-hmm. And those that have paid any attention to it know that religion is very much at play in this issue. Christopher Hitchens, the journalist and cynic and anti-religionist of yore, because he died about a year ago, but a very articulate fellow, wrote a book saying that religion poisons everything. Well, you know, as a Christian, I can't quite believe that, but as a historian, I can. To some degree.
Yeah.
And there's no question that in Syria, religious fanaticism, religious divisions, religious intolerance, and indeed the religious wars of centuries have created what's going on now. And it's almost an insoluble puzzle. It's just a violent upheaval. Of course, there are political wrongs and norms and dynamics that we can't discount. But religion is what's making it particularly a heady brew there. Mm-hmm.
Give us some insights into that, Lincoln. Exactly what is some of the history of what is happening there and who's exactly at whose neck here?
Well, you know, most people don't realize that the Middle East was largely Christian. Mm-hmm. Around the Jerusalem area and then moving on to Rome, but it started in Jerusalem, was the beginning of Christianity. Mm-hmm. And the Christian message advanced vigorously. And it was many, many hundreds of years later that Islam came to prominence in the Arabian Peninsula, considerably away from Syria and of course, present-day Israel. Mm-hmm. And the Muslim-slash-Arab conquest moved up and eventually took over most of that area. So today, Syria is majority Islam. But there is a considerable Christian population, not just Catholics and Protestants, connected to Western churches, but they're the Syriac Christians, one of the most ancient churches. They're Chaldean Christians and so on. Adding to the problem is that within Islam, there are great divisions. And this is what the U.S. is again about to discover, I'm afraid to say, the division between Shiites and Sunni. Mm-hmm. On the face of it, you know, Western Christians don't quite understand what's going on. Well, the West had a problem at one point within the Roman Catholic Church, which was the dominant church in the Christian world and Christian Europe. But there was a problem at one point. There were actually three popes. The church had divided up, but they were competing popes. And so there was a lot of fighting within the church. And, of course, that had outgrowths in the Middle Ages. Different countries were at war with each other. And, of course, then when the Protestant Reformation came along, Protestant countries were often at war with Catholic countries. So, you know, we know that within Christianity. But we sometimes don't acknowledge that within Islam, they have this great division between, in particular, Sunni and Shiite. Mm-hmm. And the point of contention between them is not particularly doctrinal. It's over succession, over whether the succession to Muhammad was to be hereditary or by natural leadership through the Ummah or the body of believers. Mm-hmm. And you would think that wouldn't put them at loggerheads, but it's led to great bloodbaths. Then complicating it further in Syria, the Alawite, a very small Muslim minority, the Alawites are the rulers through the Assad family. And they're not liked by many of the Muslim factions. So most of the opposition in Syria are Muslim extremists of one type or another. Mm-hmm. Almost certainly they have political grievances against a system that the West is not too keen on. You know, it's been a very repressive authoritarian regime. But it sparked religious sensibilities, And if we are not careful in the West, we could be forced to witness, you know, a great bloodletting on religious sensibilities. So in the middle of all of this, the Western leaders, led by President Obama, brought in a proposal to interject there because, you know, lots of killing is going on, and it hasn't troubled some people, but then, of course, gas and biological weapons of mass destruction used. And so there's the overwhelming temptation for the West to interject. And yet we hardly know what's happening in the religious, let alone the civil sphere there. It's a great mess. By definition, any civil war is a mess.
Yes, yes.
And I've thought a few times on this, what would the United States, they weren't so united back there during the Civil War, what would have happened if major Western powers had interjected? That was always the hope of the South,
yes,
that England would come in and fight their battle. And I don't think the North was too keen, but they would have been incendiary in their attitude if, say, France had come in and helped them settle a score there. A civil war, by definition, is a family feud, a desperate family feud, can be very bloody. The whole world should decry it, but to enter into that, you run the risk that they'll all turn on you. And this is likely what will happen in interjecting, as we're in process of doing. Hezbollah, a Shiite-backed liberation group in Lebanon, backed by the largely by the Iranians, have been backing the Assad regime. If we attack Assad, we will be attacking the Shiites and likely have troubles with Iran, which may be our goal. If we bring down that regime, we will then be empowering a polyglot group that includes many, many religious radicals, most of them Sunni, which is the majority group within Islam anyhow. So from a religious point of view, it's not likely to turn out very, very well at all. And when we talk about religious freedom, you know, we know, all of us, that what we believe is correct and that the others are wrong. I mean, that's implicit.
Yes.
But when we talk about religious freedom, we have to allow freedom for all religions to coexist. We can't be in the game of repressing one form or another.
Are we supposed to allow the bloodbath? I mean, that's part of their religion. That's part of what they believe. Can we allow that?
Well, no, I don't think anyone should allow a bloodbath. But very often people get into this by coming at a situation well underway. Mm-hmm. There are many antecedents to this, and even now in the middle of the bloodbath, there are things that perhaps could be done to draw it down. But nobody likes to see anybody killed. But, you know, the world is full of such conflicts. I mean, it's trendy at the moment to look at Syria, but in Africa, there are more than a handful of ongoing civil wars and genocidal actions, and no person, no child killed, we should look lightly on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's an emotional aspect here, and the fallacy, the pathetic fallacy, I remember that from literature, there's basically the pathetic fallacy that we can somehow stop this by force.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, I get into this with my kids a bit. You know, one child might violently grab something from the other, and so you think that by spanking them, you know, you've solved. Force doesn't stop force very easily. In fact, it reinforces that bad behavior to some degree.
Yeah.
Yes, I think there are ways that we could denature this, but the temptation to force is not good, never good when you're dealing with religious sensibility.
I go around and around on this too, because if I'm walking down the street and I see two guys and they're just going at it, and I recognize that one is a weaker guy and doesn't have the weapons the other one has, for me to turn my back and run down the place and call 911 and ask for the police to show up, knowing that my action, my waiting to do this, waiting for the police to show up, the weaker guy is going to get killed. The weaker guy is going to be maimed badly here. Do I not wade in and stop this thing, putting myself at risk if necessary, because that is my Christian duty toward the person? Isn't it good for me to lay down my life for another person?
It's true, and we need to follow a conscience, and it might be in such a case you need to stand up for the weaker. When we're talking geopolitics, which is what this is all about, it would be well for people to look at the map. Syria sits there not just next to Lebanon and Israel, where Syria is dabbled in Lebanon's civil war, which has other antecedents. And of course, Syria has been to war with Israel,
yes.
Lost part of its territory on the Golan Heights. So it learned that you don't go to war with Israel. But Syria sits on the border of Turkey, which is a westernized Muslim country that's part of the NATO. So it's us, if you want to use that term.
Yes.
On the other side, on a huge swatch of its border, is Iraq. Anybody that thinks that the Western country invading and occupying Iraq, its neighbor, which had the same political party, the Ba'athist Party, and that would not create chaos, at the very least, if not civil war in Syria, is naive to the extreme. So you're right. We have already seen a fight, or maybe even made a fight and moved in there, and here are some consequences.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not being self-righteous enough to say that we should now do nothing. You could make a good argument that we started it. We have a certain obligation to sort it out. But in reality, this is what Rudyard Kipling called the great game between countries. And it's not for this program to say in an absolute moral sense what's wrong, what's right for a country. I think it better to say that most of the country's aims are secular, not the purview of a Christian. Mm-hmm. As Jesus said, you know, my kingdom's not of this world. If it was, my servants would fight. Christians have an obligation to support a regime in its reasonable goals that they live in. But their ultimate obligation is to live before God and desire peace and love between human beings. That's a higher obligation. And it's very easy for people of faith to be sucked into such a maelstrom. And I think I hope I described it adequately. It's such a complicated mishmash of religious sensibilities that nothing very good will come out of this on a religious point, and perhaps nothing very good on a civil point. I think this is rapidly becoming another Lebanon.
Well, there you have it, friends. That's Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, talking about Syria here today on our program. I know that one of the things that we all can do, and Lincoln, I'm sure you're 100% behind this, is we can pray for that country and we can pray for the people that are there.
Absolutely.
We need to do that on a daily basis. Also, we can keep ourselves informed, and you do that by reading Liberty Magazine. www.libertymagazine.org is the website where you can subscribe to it. You can read the articles that are there, the blogs that Lincoln makes available, very insightful stuff. Other people have written in there too, so lots of good stuff at libertymagazine.org. Check it out. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
And until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Lincoln Steed, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.